Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi everyone, Kate here. Just a little heads up. The episode you're about to hear varies in style slightly due to the fact that it was recorded at Acast HQ in front of a live studio audience and is a kind of lead out show for what is going to be a 6 month campaign on behalf of Acast, who support all kinds of podcasts to populate and drive the conversation around menopause. We are thrilled that they wanted to kick things off with us on White Wine Question Time. So in conversation with me today at Acast HQ, I'm joined by a menopause expert, Dr. Lydia Robertson, and my best friend, Tamsin Outhwaite, an incredible actress and now the founder of a charity that helps women who are pretty much broken and on their knees during the years of menopause. Enjoy. I promise it's more fun than I just made it sound. Hello and welcome to a very special edition of White Wine Question Time, which sees the last in our shows this month, marking Menopause Awareness Month. And today, we're coming to you from Acast HQ in East London with an audience. Let me hear you. Who are doing the drinking for us today? Because I need my guests on their very best form. I have two very special guests with me today. And I think, you know, across the month, what we've tried to do with the shows on White Wine Question Time for Menopause Awareness Month, my hope was that we could create a series of conversations that would serve as an audio first aid kit for menopause and perimenopause. Something that can live on this feed as a point of reference when it comes to everything you need by way of facts and information to guide you through what is an entirely inevitable and entirely natural life stage. And my hope is that you leave these episodes with enough trustworthy, fact-checked, medically supported information to then go and make an educated choice for yourself about how you want to manage your way through whatever menopause looks like for you. Now, for some women, they're just going to sail through it. They might get hot one Wednesday afternoon, and that's the end of that. And brilliant for them. Jealousy doesn't even begin to cover it for me. But for some women, that just isn't the case. And with perimenopause and menopause eating up what can be years and sometimes decades of our lives, we wanted to explore both what's happening to our bodies and how it impacts us mentally and physically, and how we can better manage it, be it with HRT, with alternative therapies, or lifestyle changes and choices. And to help me do that, First up, Dr. Lydia Robertson, a menopause specialist who works alongside Dr. Naomi Potter at Menopause Care, which is Britain's largest team of British Menopause Society accredited doctors and healthcare professionals. So thank you so much, Lydia. This is your first time on mic, I believe.
It is, yes. So
very grateful.
Pleasure to be here.
Very grateful for your presence today. Alongside her is a woman who's been a guest on this show several times now. She's my best friend. She is a brilliant actress, and she is now the founder of We Free Women, which is a charity she's set up to offer women fully funded places on wellbeing retreats that specialise in natural therapies that can help women as they navigate menopause. So please welcome Dr. Lydia and Tamsin Outhwaite. That's nice. They're pleased to see you. It's really good to have you both here today because you act as bookends on this conversation in a really important way, I think. I wanted to knit together in this episode the many ways in which we can treat and support ourselves through menopause and perimenopause. And I know that you sit before me with a lot of the answers. Lydia, you've got all the medical knowledge we need. And then Tam, you've gone out and you have not only tackled your perimenopause from a medical stance, but also you've opened up all kinds of therapies and natural ways and lifestyle changes that you've adopted and introduced to your life to make this an easier season for you as a woman. So I wanted to explore some of that. You're up for it?
Yes.
Definitely.
Come on, let's go.
Okay. First things first, Lydia, what is perimenopause and what is menopause? Because one is way longer than the other, and I think people will be shocked to know how quick you are in menopause for.
Yes, exactly. So perimenopause is the journey to menopause. Menopause is actually just one day of our life. It's 1 year after our final bleed. And then after that,
Tam's face,
we are postmenopausal after that. So menopause is one day. And the perimenopause is that journey from being a fertile woman to no longer being fertile. And it's very individual. For some women, that can be quite quick and only be a few months transition to that. But for other women, it's much a longer, slower process. So the average is around 4 years, but it can last 10 years. And many women notice symptoms from their early 40s as they're experiencing fluctuations in their hormones and a gradual decline over that time. And it can be confusing because there are periods of time when hormones are okay and we're feeling all right, and other times when they're not so.
That's because they move around. And
they
we'll
move
come
around.
To that.
They keep you on your toes. Yeah.
But as a fact, right, Tam, I watched your face then. Perimenopause is what it's all about. And I don't know about you, but I didn't even know what perimenopause was until about 5 years ago when I went into it. And let me tell you, it wasn't a welcome discovery. I wish I'd been better prepared. So I think there's so much work to be done, which is why it's so brilliant that ACAST are devoting 6 months of ongoing conversation around this so that we are taking the scary out of menopause. And in so many ways, I almost want to stop using that word right now because it just reflects one day. Let's talk about perimenopause.
Yeah.
Because that's the marathon, my friends. That's the marathon. When did you realize you were in perimenopause, Tam?
When we were filming in lockdown, we were filming on our iPhones a series called Done Breeding that our friend had written that you were in.
Uh-huh.
And Julie Graham had written it, and it was all about six friends going through the menopause. I didn't know really what the menopause was. When my mum was alive, I remember asking her what happened when you went through the menopause, and she said, I got hot one afternoon, literally. Literally. And I remember she got a bit grumpy at some point, but that was it. So I thought genetically, that's probably what will happen to me. We were filming Done Breeding, and all of these symptoms that were coming out in the script, in the drama, were like, oh, I've got a bit of that. I feel a bit like that. But yeah, I've put on weight. And then Kate Thornton phoned me up and I said, I'm feeling a bit weird. Julie Graham called me up as well. And they both said, we've got the rage. And the rage looked like it was really serious and hardcore. And they said, get some HRT because this is about to kick in. The rage will kick in at some point and it can be preventative. Go and get some HRT because the other symptoms are there. So that's how it happened for me. I was filming a series about the menopause, and then my two friends that were going through menopause called me and I took preventative action. And I had the absolute luck of phoning up my GP, and she was a specialist in women's health, which is very rare, I hear.
Yeah. So Tam won the lottery of GP life, because as we'll establish throughout this conversation, so when you go and train to become a doctor, you don't have to study menopause. You don't have to know anything about it to receive your qualification. And you're under no obligation to learn about it as you go. It's entirely optional. And when you do, it's like an e-module that you can learn online. And okay, that's the way it's always been, but is that okay that 51% of the population will go through menopause and your doctor is not obliged to know even just the basics about how to recommend treatments for you? And this is where a whole world of pain unfolds, because women get misdiagnosed or doctors are afraid to prescribe medicines that they don't fully understand, or conditions that they don't fully understand. And this is where it all starts to unravel. And it comes at a time in a woman's life when, by the time certainly I'd got the courage up to go and see my doctor, I was such a mess that the first doctor's appointment was just me trying to translate what I was trying to say through sobs and snotty tears, really. I was just like, you've got to help me. I don't know who I am anymore. I felt like I'd been burgled and stolen. And you're so lucky if you get the right doctor. As I covered off in previous episodes with Lisa Snowden, I kissed a lot of frogs before I found my princess in Dr. Naomi Potter, who works alongside you, Lydia. And I know that by the time I've fed a lot of my friends through to you guys and just said, you've got to go and speak to them, because you will be heard and understood. And that's the first step, I think, to getting help.
And also the talking, like, I've learnt so much from Kate. I've only met you today and I've already learnt so much just about how to take it, your HRT. And Kate is spreading the word really brilliantly, and you've learnt from Lisa Snowden. So I think it's so important now that to keep talking about it, because the stigma before was like, oh no, you don't talk about that. And people used to say, oh, she went a bit funny when she was a bit older. They used to say that, like.
But also, women used to die around menopause. Seriously, so we live longer now. So actually, it would be like an end of life condition. Seriously, you're looking shocked in the audience there. But no, seriously, I mean, our life expectancy now, we hit perimenopause. For me, it was early 40s. I hope I'm only halfway there. So it's not end of life; it's midlife, and you're just hitting your stride in so many other ways. That's kind of the frustration. There are many frustrations. The irony being that, you know, you told me today that I recommended you start taking HRT. I can't remember. remember that call.
I also remember you phoned me up and you went, I've got all the symptoms. I've put on loads of weight. My memory's completely gone. And I can't remember the other one. It was like, it was continual, like, but I've got to tell you this. But I can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
It was just
And then you'd get a voice note 45 minutes later going, it was potatoes.
Yeah.
Or something. I don't know. One thing I will say, and I think that we're very lucky to have this as a friendship group, is A, we've got access to great doctors.
Yes.
Right? And we're talkers. And some groups, some women don't talk. They don't go through this at the same stage. Our group, you know, we're talking about Julie Graham, me and Tam. We're all years apart. So the chances of us all going through this in a similar time frame is quite unusual.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think talking for me has been massive. Finding the right doctor, also massive. And when you do go to that first doctor, what are the questions that you should be asking, Lydia? If your port of call is first stop GP who doesn't really know very much at all, how can you best represent yourself in that moment?
Yeah, it's tricky, isn't it? Often it's an emotional appointment, you've been waiting, maybe building yourself up to it. Am I ready? Do I need it? So being armed with information is really important. So being here, learning what it is, knowing where to find good information, sometimes downloading guidelines, the nice guidelines you can take into your doctor, which can really help guide the conversation. Writing things down before going into your consultation. Do you say it's often overwhelming? We forget, we don't know what
down.
We're going to say.
I walked in and went, oh, God, what did I want to say? And I've built myself up for this appointment. I'd waited 3 weeks. I should have written it down. Then I should have written down what she said because I forgot. Then I got a prescription and I forgot how to take it. So then I had to get another appointment. And then I got a different doctor whose advice was this: read the leaflet. I literally
cried and said, you shouldn't speak to people like that. And she's like, what? Sorry. And I just said, you don't know how fragile I am right now. And you just told me to read a leaflet.
And I haven't got my glasses.
And I can't see.
And I was so broken. And I just needed somebody to tell me what to do, not to dismiss me. And that's so key. Yeah. And also, but equally, I'm expecting way too much from a general practitioner, right? Who's got 7 minutes to talk to me. And I'm probably quite snappy and irritable. And I say probably, I mean totally was, probably, most likely. I can't remember.
So how do you go about it, though, when someone books an appointment?
So you can ask for a double appointment if you know that's what you're going in for. Be brave and
see,
ask
for that.
I didn't
know that existed.
Yeah, it does.
Is that like a double vodka?
Double Max.
Yeah. I think asking the receptionist, you know, who is interested in the menopause, then you're more likely to end up with somebody who has got an interest in it, because GPs, as you say, aren't all trained in it, and some GPs will have a more of an interest in it. So that can be helpful. Going along with a friend as well to support you, who can take those notes, because it's not easy. As we've discovered today, HRT is very individual. Each regime is different, and it takes a bit of understanding. It's not taking one tablet every morning. That's not how it works.
So Tam's worked out today that you've been probably incorrectly taking your HRT. And how long have you been on it, Tam?
Since the pandemic, the first year, so 2020.
4 years. No, 3 years. We're not in 2024. There you go. There's my memory again.
3 years.
3 years.
Yeah, because I spoke to Julie, who was taking it completely differently. And so I started taking it how Julie was taking it. But she's menopause, not perimenopause. So I've just been informed by Lydia that I've been taking it wrong the whole time. So tomorrow's a new day. Find the positive in everything. I've learnt something, many things today.
Yeah, this is a triple. It's good to talk, but there are so many different ways to take it. So comparing ourselves.
So bear with us as we kind of ramble our way through this, because what we're going to come on to is what treatments are available, who can take it, can you take certain treatments if you've got a history of, for example, breast cancer? We're going to get into all of that. And what if you don't want to take HRT? What else can you do? All of that is coming. But I want to kind of, first of all, set the scene as to how we're qualified to give that advice to you today. And I'm going to come to you, Tam, because one of the things that you and I have talked about a lot on the phone is being alone, right? We just both crave being alone in perimenopause, to the point that, like, a holiday for me is just an empty house, 3 podcasts that I can listen to uninterrupted, and some cleaning products. Welcome to 50-year-old me. She's a ton of fun. And then I'd phone Tam. I've got my cleaning cloth in one hand. She's on loudspeaker. She's like, oh, everyone's out. I'm having a lovely time. Me too. She's cooking. I'm cleaning. We don't want to see each other. We get each other. But the highlight of our week is that alone time.
Yeah.
And you really built out from that. You harnessed the value of that and started going on holiday on your own.
Yeah. Well, I think it, as someone that was very sociable, and you too, I knew that the menopause or the perimenopause had kicked in when noise was very annoying. People, everyone else was annoying, and the noise...
Apart from menopausal people who were fine.
Yeah, if they didn't talk. I mean, I wasn't angry. That's the thing. I didn't feel like I was angry. I just felt like the sound of silence was so needed. And as a mum, and we live in a very busy house, and I talk a lot, I think what happened is I suddenly went into this space where I was very aware of going on retreats with my partner. We used to go to the body camp all the time. We loved it.
What is the body camp, Tam, for those that don't know?
The body camp is a wonderful retreat that me and my partner have been on a few times. And it's for fitness. It's for positivity. It's for nutrition. It's in Mallorca. I've been to one in Ibiza.
It's a reset, isn't it?
It's a reset. And I just loved it. We both loved it. And then I got to a stage where I needed, I mean, what I learned there was how to reframe things. You're not starving. You're ready to refuel. You know, there were so many ways of how you talk to yourself in a positive way, and how what positivity you put out there, how you treat yourself. It was a wonderful reset. And the exercise.
It's not just exercise. No. It teaches you things like breath work. So I've been as well. We've done breathing classes there that were fantastic.
Yeah.
And I hadn't even thought about that. And
also the nutrition. Is massive. Ben, the chef. So I think basically that was my intro into retreats. And then I started like ditching my bloke and wanting to go alone somewhere quieter, not doing so much exercise because, you know, as much as I love time with my man, I was starting on this journey of healing, of self-discovery, of who am I, self-acceptance, and alone time. And I think needing that took me on different journeys, on retreats, that took me to places that were in the Dolomites and Greece and not loads of exercise. Pilates, yoga, yes, because at this age, not running, not doing high-intensity HIIT training, but finding new ways and actually getting to know myself on my own.
And your body.
And my body, which was changing, and my mind, which was changing. And I think from someone that had spent a lot of time investing in other people trying to fix things, fix problems, helping.
Parenting.
And I think I just neglected myself. And suddenly I was like, oh, I'm all right. I quite like myself again. My respect came back. The love for myself came back. And the actual turning point of how We Free Women came about was that I was in the Dolomites at Pradelhof and I had this healing session and I was open to anything. When you're open to anything, I think you see more signs of serendipity and just signs that you're on the right path.
And what is a healing session, Tam? Like, what happens in one?
So this particular healing session was like a shaman. And I don't know, I was open to it all. So I didn't really learn much about every individual treatment. I just went with it. You know my motto, flow like water, see what happens. Don't structure everything. And so I went into this healing session and I came out. I won't tell you what happened in there, it was crazy. But I came out and I thought I'd fallen asleep. And he said, you didn't fall asleep, you were shaking for 40 minutes. So I was like, oh, wow, okay. Anyway, he said, don't go on your screen. Go back to your room and just relax. And I went back to my room and I don't know how many hours passed, but I felt this light feeling. And that evening, I wanted to thank the retreat just for what had happened. It felt like a massive shift, a spiritual and a healing and a soulful kind of a shift. And I put on Instagram, thank you. Because Instagram can be a cesspit, but it can also be amazing for wonderful things.
Yeah, and for creating community.
Yeah, and We Free Women was born on Instagram because I put on thank you to the healer and thank you for these sessions. This is what I've had, I feel clear. And the overwhelming response of women going, oh my gosh, this is exactly what I need. I don't have the money. I'm a single mum. I've got three kids. I can't possibly leave my kids for a night, never mind four nights. And suddenly all these people were coming up and I thought, actually, this is what is on my path is now born from the fact that I can afford to go on these things. I'm a very fortunate human being. And I suddenly was like, why isn't self-care available to everyone? Why aren't these tools available to people that can't afford it or haven't got the time or just don't know about it? They're not aware of it. So basically, on Instagram, within the next 12 hours, practitioners, Reiki practitioners, people coming forward going, I'll help you. And I just was like, I need to create a retreat for people that can't afford it, for women that need it. All you need to do is teach them the inexpensive or completely free tools of nature, cold therapy, breath work, yoga, Pilates. There are so nutrition,
meditation.
So many things, meditation, mindfulness, general mindfulness. Because when women are spinning all the plates and they get to menopause, they can't spin them anymore because they can't spin their own plate, never mind everybody else's. So what happened to me, I learnt and worked on and then felt like, well, surely that should be passed on to other women because the ripple effect of that and the kindness of that, the overwhelming kindness on Instagram, goes out into community. And that woman who is taught those tools is then a better mother, a better sister, a better colleague at work, friend. It just ripples out. So my solo retreats where I'd take myself away, I would be able to go back into my family life and my work life and be a better version of myself because I'd taken the time for me. And I noticed such a huge difference that I just felt like I had to do something about it for people that didn't know about it because I only learned it through a retreat. So how does everybody else that doesn't go get to go on retreats know about it?
But what you did is you brought that back to us as your friends, right? And we all started looking into it, and we all started to adopt some of those practices that might work for us. For some people, it was cold water swimming. For some people, it's just turning the shower to cold at the end of their shower. It can be whatever. And I think that's a really good illustration of you can take it as far as you want or just introduce a little bit by just dipping your toe in a bit just to see if it works for you. When we say doing breathing classes, you don't have to go and lie on a floor and breathe for an hour and howl with, you know, and let all your emotions out. You can just do something as simple as take your breath in for a count of four.
Box breath.
Yeah.
It's just box
breath. Hold it
breath,
for four, simple. Let it out for four. The times that I have climbed down from a raging outburst through breathing my way out of it, it's become really important. It stops me hating myself so much when I can't control what is an out of control temper sometimes.
Yes.
And you know, I'm a grown up. I know that this is not a cool way to behave. Can I control it? Not always. Do I beat myself up for it? Absolutely. Every single time. So you just get into this pit of not liking yourself. And I was very unlike Tam. So Tam started to learn to like herself in perimenopause. I really liked myself just as I tipped into it. I felt like I'd had about 8 good years out of my adult life where I thought, finally, you've become the woman you've always aspired to be. A good friend, a good mother, a good daughter. I felt like I was great.
You've always been that woman, but you just started to see it.
And I really liked it. And then, no, the hormones came in and literally obliterated all of that. And I didn't know myself anymore. And I didn't like myself. So what I suppose I'm trying to illustrate here is that some people have a really positive experience within that because they go and do the work. Others fall apart like I did. And other people have entirely different experiences. Nobody will have the same menopause. Nobody. And a lot of what Tam's talking about now, I can see Lydia nodding along. Medically, right, if a doctor told you to go and walk for 20 minutes in nature every day and look up and digitally disconnect.
Not with more headphones on, not yeah. with your phone in your hand.
You're more likely to listen. Do it. Doctor, would you recommend that?
Absolutely, yeah. It's something that I talk about all of the time. It's, you know, one of our pillars, really, this relaxation, this letting go. As you say, modern life is so demanding of our time now, and everyone needs it. So whether you have to find what's right for you, as Tamsin has said. So is it walking your dog with nothing else, no headphones? Is it cold water? Is it breath work? Is it yoga? Is it gardening or washing the car even? Any activity
or
that...
Or just saying, no, I can't come out on Thursday.
Or saying absolutely.
And not going because, just going, I can't come on Thursday, because actually it's that one thing too far in your diary that's going to tip you into crazy lady. So it's knowing your boundaries and your limits. That's all... Self-care.
Absolutely.
That's what, and it sounds like word salad, and I don't want it to sound like word salad because we're not word salad-y people, although nutrition is big on my agenda these days in a way it hasn't been. And, you know, so you talk about nutrition. I know that's something that you talk about with your patients. I do the Zoe program. They came on and sponsored this podcast. I dived in with a massive appetite to learn more. It's revolutionized the way my body responds to me and the food that I put in it now. It's been a voyage of discovery that I've loved, but it's a lot of work. Would I recommend it? 100%. Is it for everyone? I don't know, but it's definitely worked for me, and the findings continue to make me feel better in myself, right, in terms of the stuff I learn every day on the Zoe program. Again, you know what, it's expensive, right? It's not available to everybody. We sit here, we talk about, oh, go and do this, go and do that. Some people are just thinking, all right, for you.
Yeah, I know.
You've got a few quid. And that, do you know what? I absolutely share your frustration. It's not fair. It's not right. Can we fix that for everybody? No. Can we share some learnings? 100%.
Yeah.
So please just take from this conversation what we can give freely.
Yeah.
But, and you know, and if you want to jump on and Instagram and ask us more questions, happily, dive into our DMs and we'll do everything we can to feed back to you. Because I think there is so much you can do away from just a prescription. Lydia, what else would you recommend outside of writing a prescription that taps into some of the work that Tamsin's now introducing to women on her retreats?
Yeah, lifestyle is the cornerstone, really, of menopause. You can't really not address it. It's my starting point always with women. Sometimes a woman is so unwell that you can't start there, but addressing nutrition is absolutely key, making sure you're having a healthy, nutritious Mediterranean style diet with plenty of variety, nurturing your gut microbiome.
Mediterranean, some people hear that and think all-inclusive hotel. That is not what we mean. Mediterranean diet means rich in vegetables, olive look oils, at the Mediterranean, fats, yeah. Fish.
Yes. Yeah. The Mediterranean style pyramid is wonderful. Have a look at that. But it really is. It's variety, it's colour, it's diversity, but it's prioritising good quality fats as well, which support hormone health. It's making sure we prioritise protein, which becomes much more important during our perimenopause. And really key is, which is part of the Zoe as well, programme is stabilising blood sugars, which can be done without the Zoe programme. It's something that we need to learn about, but it's really key to stabilising symptoms and feeling better. But all,
yeah. And the parallels between, for example, what they're doing with the Zoe programme and what we're saying here today is it's about everybody's experience being different. And unique, right? My gut is my gut. It's not going to be the same as your gut. And the same for your perimenopause and menopause, right? Everybody has to be treated according to their own set of symptoms. And by the way, I mean, let's have a straw poll, shall we? If I just start counting in tens, put your hands up and tell me when you think I've hit the ballpark in terms of the number of symptoms that correlate to perimenopause. So 10, 20, a couple of hands on 20, 30, lots of them 30, 40, couple on 40, 50, nothing, 60, just the one.
Yeah.
And you know why you know Taylor? Because you've researched this show, our researcher Taylor.
60
symptoms of menopause. Just so you know, when I started on perimenopause, we were at 34. So we're adding all the time. It's the least fun list to be on, by the way. It's a list of...
But can I be positive about this?
Yes, go.
Because it's also the beginning of the rest of your life if you put the work in.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
And it's work, right? It is like applying. I said this in the first episode with Lisa and Naomi. It's like you get a job that you never applied for, that has no pay. The hours are 24/7. There's no day off. But you can't get away from it. So either you sit and fight it and complain, or you just dive in and try to find the best of it. And I think that's, you know, that's where when I spoke with Lisa Snowden and she said, it gets better, I literally could have just wept with joy at knowing that this isn't forever.
She looks blooming. She seems like she's thriving right now.
Yeah, but she had her menopause day. And then do you know what the really weird thing is? It's a bit like the day that you pick your children up for the last time. You never know when that day's going to be. One day you stop picking your kids up, right? And they no longer sit on your hip. One day you go through the menopause and the chances are you won't even know what that day is. But it's really significant.
I think it's also really important that men hear this.
Yeah.
Because it ripples into the lives of many men as well. And I'm sure an awful lot of men in my life, our lives, are thinking, all right, stop going on about the menopause.
There's a lot of eye rolling. If eye rolling was an Olympic sport, I know some people that could really qualify.
But
And I get it, right? It's boring. If you're not going through it, it's like...
Yeah.
But when you're in it, it's everything.
But wouldn't it be lovely to be coming up to it and know all of the information that everybody is giving out now? Even though we still don't know everything, it would be lovely if my first thing or my first learning of the menopause wasn't get some HRT before you get the rage.
Yeah.
I mean, that was as you're going through it.
Yeah.
Not learning anything is because the generation before us kept so shtum about it because there was so much shame around it. And there is not any shame because there are some wonderful, beautiful moments that come out of it.
What have been yours, Tam?
The moments.
Yeah, the beautiful moments.
Well, finding things like cold water therapy, meditation, mindfulness, being so much more in touch with myself, nature. I mean, we don't now say, let's go out for a drink. We say, do you want to go out for a walk? Mm. So the way your pastimes change, so much more healthy, so much more nourishing. And I feel like I'm putting back into my body and my soul and my mind what I should have been doing many years ago.
And listen to your friends, right? Because so this time last year, it was coming up for your birthday. Was it your birthday last year that we did this, where we had dinner at your house? Or was it the year before?
No, last year.
sometimes years just evaporate, bear with. And so Tam had dinner at her house and all the girls went, right? And we turn up. I had not seen you for a good 8 weeks. And she looked amazing, right? And she seemed amazing. She looked like a flower that was just in bloom. And I was like, wow, you look really well. And then another of our friends arrived, Emma. And Emma, again, I was like, look at you. You look fantastic. They both stopped drinking, right? And I was like, oh, God, stop that. And I carried on drinking. But actually, they were just a little bit ahead of me in their journey, because now my body doesn't respond to booze in the way that it used to. It's not as friendly as it once yeah. was. So I can still drink, just not as much. And yeah, I just have to listen to that. It's okay.
So I'm not on that path now. I fall off all the time. And, you know, I think, oh, God, I've done 6 months. I'm going to have a night with my friends drinking. Like 3 glasses of wine in, I have to lay down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just yeah. But I keep trying, you know.
Of course, you're always going to return to your favourite sport.
But just very occasionally. But it's a good reminder. I just think you have to experience it yourself to know what's best for you. One of the best things that's come out of it for me is just feeling like you know your calling, and that, and We Free Women feels like part of my calling now.
So then, yeah, I mean, and you really have jumped all over it. So Tam comes back from her retreat where you'd had to, like, it was trauma healing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then suddenly all the phone calls start coming in, right? So we're quite a tight group of friends, and I'm the best group of friends to be a part of. I love our mates.
Yeah.
And so we're on these group WhatsApps, and Tam's like, listen, I've got this idea. And it's like, sure, we'll all dive in and we'll all help as best we can. And everybody stepped up, right? Because we could see that you were good again, and we're all willing each other on. We're all at different stages with this, where sometimes, you know, I can be weepy and ragey, and then I'll have a 6 month run where I feel brilliant, right? And I think, I've learned now that sometimes it just, you know, it lasts for 6 months, then you might have another crappy 2 months. But the girls will go, don't worry, just having a bit of a dip. And they get it and they understand, and that is all good. You know, that's lovely. So while we're having these chats on this group, everyone starts volunteering. What ended up with was 12 women came down to stay in Tamsin's house.
Sorry, 10 women. 10 women. On the first one, yeah.
So, yeah, so what and we end up with is 10.
Yeah, and I've now got 5 co-founders and 2, and everyone's a volunteer. They're all running it. And 2, a project manager, like a retreat runner, and also a mental health expert, and that's the team. Now, we did it in my house. Sorry, Kate, I'm interrupting as per.
No, go on.
And we did it in my house because I thought, well, it'll be a tight squeeze, but let's just do a trial. I never thought it was going to go on to be much after that. I thought, I just want to see the effects of how, if you pass this stuff on, what happens. Kate came and did the washing up after every meal. Lisa Faulkner came and did a chef's evening cooking. We had Chrissy from Caribbean Kitchen drive from Brighton and make all of the Caribbean food on one meal.
Julie Graham got involved with her husband and pitched tents for people to have therapy tents.
And it became, I mean, we were our retreat angels, my co-founders were all in the kitchen, and we had to try not to cry all the time, because these 10 women were forming a bond with each other. They're still on a WhatsApp group. I had the idea on the 16th of Feb. We did our first retreat at the end of March. So it became together so quickly. Within a few weeks, We Free Women was born, because there was a need for it. And all of the practitioners that volunteered, complete, like, everyone did it for nothing. We had no outlay. I paid for food. That was literally it. Marks and Spencers have now got on board and are paying, are giving
donating
us food.
Donating food.
So basically, this magical 4 days happened, and these women arrived, and some of them were like, I feel like I haven't taken a deep breath for the last 6 years. They came from different traumas. Some just needed a break. Some had come from domestic violence situations. It was all different. And what we witnessed with these women and their testimonials since have been life-changing for them, completely life-changing, which meant that we couldn't stop there. So since then, we've done So we've done 3 residential retreats and 2 day retreats that were menopause specialist retreats in Devon. People have been offering us their houses to do them there. And now there's this movement. So I couldn't be happier about it, because can I just tell you this one thing?
I've
told you, but I was invited to this dinner with Deepak Chopra. I don't know if anyone knows him. He's a spiritual
legend.
Guru, writer, legend. And it was 10 people, and I was invited because this woman said, I think you'd appreciate it at the moment. And he said, in our teachings, the first 25 years are about study and learning. The second 25 years are about family, fame, fortune, career. And the third 25 years are about service, paying it forward, giving it back, being of service to other people, passing on your knowledge. And it made me think, ooh. Makes me want to cry. It made me think I'm in the right place and I'm on the right path. And the effect you have on other people comes back to you.
It really does. And we were all huddled in Tamsin's kitchen on the end of that first retreat, and we could hear the way these women were talking. And the women that arrived were not the women that left.
Yeah.
Their shoulders were back. Their heads were up. They smiled and their eyes smiled. They felt understood and heard and listened to. And it sounds, and you say, you know, what was wrong with them? They were going through a really massively difficult time in their life, which was exacerbated by hormonal shifts. Yeah. That's what was going on with them. It sounds really simple when I put it into a sentence like that, but it changed everything for them. And it was really powerful. So now Tamsin is registered as a charity. Let me tell you, the work this woman has done is second to none. She's doing 8 shows a week at the moment in the West End. She's a single parent to 2 incredible children and is bringing this together so that other women can have that day, that 24 hours, that 48 hours to reset them. And I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. But can I just say, the other women, my co-founders, are doing all the work.
She's not on her own. I'm not giving her all the credit.
They're doing all the work while I'm on stage. So, yeah, obviously we need funds. Everyone needs funds to run these things. You can't always be paying for them yourself or doing them on a GoFundMe page. We need sponsors, we need funds, but that will all come. And we've helped over 40 women, and next year we're going to help a lot more. Thank you for having me on this.
That's all right. Thank you for doing it.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Because I wouldn't be doing menopause and perimenopause a service if we just talked about HRT, because that's so often where the conversation starts and stops. And don't get me wrong, we weren't talking about that 5 years ago, so it's brilliant that that conversation's happening. But let's look out. Let's look beyond that. Let's see what else there is that you can do for you or for the women around you. Because you know what? You know, we all come from women. Yeah? Women give life. They are born as part of the cycle that ends in menopause. everybody should be respecting this stage in a woman's life because it's how we all got here. And medically, you just can't argue with that.
No, totally agree. And half of the consultation is women wanting to be heard. And that is what I have the time to do in my consultations. So it's absolutely part of it. And I think these retreats is, amazing as people feel heard and listened to. And it's absolutely part of the care through menopause.
It really is. It's really important. So we know that you can go out and you can go walking, you can go swimming. I mean, for me, I'm going to throw my two penneth in about exercise because I love exercise, and for my mental well-being, that's my go-to is go to a workout. Right?
But now you love Pilates.
And I used to think yoga was, I'm not being funny, for wimps. I was like, it doesn't hurt and you don't sweat, therefore I'm not there for it, right? I want to go and be furiously running, sweating, panting, feeling like I've, absolutely pushed myself. And I was doing literally 6 HIIT classes a week, right, to try and get rid of the weight gain of perimenopause. All I was doing was just turning more and more into large Marge because my cortisol was spiking. I didn't understand that. And you're probably listening going, what's cortisol? Is that a mouthwash? No. Lydia.
I thought it was.
Did she?
Always learning. Every day's a school day.
Everyone.
Lydia, what is cortisol and how can it be spiked by the wrong kind of foods, exercise, and why do we need to manage our cortisol?
So cortisol is often referred to as our stress hormone, and exercise will spike cortisol. Now, cortisol isn't a bad hormone. It can have a role to play, but in a time of stress when we're already overwhelmed and overworked, then it's something we really need to downregulate. And so I see many women coming in going, I'm just exercising like crazy. We were the aerobics generation. We're kind of trying to get out there and do it all. But actually, we need to shift that back, go more to restorative, gentle exercises and strength training, which I know you've embraced as well. There are so many benefits to starting to build and maintain our muscles. Yeah. Weights.
Because there are wider health repercussions to what the menopause does to you. It does give you brittler bones. So our job is to make sure that we eat the right foods and we train in the right way to strengthen our bones and to make
sure that we
keep them in as tip-top condition as we can. So for me, I've changed completely the way I exercise. I still exercise 4 or 5 times a week, which sounds like a lot, but it's half an hour. Sometimes, I'll be honest, I can spend longer scrolling on Instagram. Because we all do. So it's about priorities. If you can find time to sit and stare at your phone for half an hour, you can find time to go and just, move. It's so good for
you. Move in nature is really the
even
key.
Better, yeah.
And also, a really simple self-care thing, and I kind of touched on it earlier, say no. Say, yeah. I can't. Say, I can't. Or even say this, say, I don't want to. People will not stop being your friend. I've learned that. It's really, and I was such a, okay, I'll be there. Yeah, driving 3 hours across town to not let somebody down, that wouldn't think twice about saying to me, don't worry if you don't feel up to it, geez. So be kinder to yourself.
Yes,
definitely.
All of those things. But for me, I couldn't have got anywhere close to feeling as better. I'm not going to say well, because there's definitely room for improvement, but as better as I do now, which grammatically sounds incorrect, without HRT. So let's move to HRT, because it's not for everyone, right? It's not for everyone. If right now, if I had to choose between losing my HRT and my child, I tell you what, my God love my child, because he'd have to put up with me without HRT, but that is the only thing that comes before it right now. That's how much I love my HRT and what it's given me back. And it is the gift that returns you. And that's been my experience, not everyone's experience. So what is HRT?
So HRT stands for hormone replacement therapy, and essentially all you're doing is you're replacing those hormones that have been fluctuating and eventually declining throughout the perimenopause.
At what time of life do we start losing our estrogen? Because that's the key hormone that we're trying to retrieve.
Yeah, estrogen and progesterone too actually can be really noticed by women. It depends, it's individual. I would say average early 40s, but there's women that starts earlier and women much later. So it is very individual, which is why, younger women wanting to know what to do, get to know your cycle, get to know what's your normal cycle, how you feel through that cycle. But yes, we start to replace those hormones that are kind of fluctuating. So actually in perimenopause, you can get very high estrogen at times and very low. So it can actually go higher than you would in a normal cycle.
And how would that manifest itself in your behaviours, for example, or responses?
Well, often the symptoms in perimenopause are actually caused by the ups and the downs. Our body does not like change. Our body likes to be steady. So a lot of the symptoms are the rises and the falls that we get in the hormones. So that's often, you know, migraine, for example, is that disruption.
See, a lot of people say, oh, I can't take HRT, I get migraines. That's when you should be taking HRT, right?
Yeah, so you have to, there's lots of caveats, but
I say that like a doctor.
No, you're right. You can take HRT with migraines. You have to be a little bit careful with oral estrogen that can raise clot risk a little bit. Estrogen is what you have in your gels, your patches, your sprays. It can also be given in tablet form, but the tablet form does raise the risk of clotting slightly. So in somebody who has migraines, you would always give it transdermally, which just means through the skin, and there are various different ways of doing that.
So patch, gel, spray.
Generally, yeah, they're the three forms.
Mm-hmm. Progesterone we take purely to protect the lining of the womb from developing womb cancer?
Yeah, so progesterone is interesting. So yes, if you do not have a womb, you do not need to have progesterone. You can have estrogen-only HRT. If you have a womb, you do need progesterone. And progesterone gets a hard time because actually progesterone can stimulate the GABA receptors in the brain and helps with sleep and anxiety. So many women notice sleep disruption as one of the first symptoms in perimenopause.
God, yeah.
And it's really debilitating. And actually, the progesterone that you take at bedtime, this eutrogestan, which is body identical, can really help with deep sleep cycles, help to calm us and help energy. So I like to give
and that's the most common prescription for progesterone. But for example, I'm progesterone sensitive, so it didn't work for me. Turned me into a very weepy, emotional. I was like properly unhappy. So then Naomi, your lovely colleague, my doctor, said, we need to fit a coil. So I had a coil fitted, problem solved. Because now the progesterone goes to the uterus directly, not through my blood system stream, so that it doesn't manifest itself in the same way. Yeah. So there's always a solution. But again, it's not off the peg. You know, you have everybody's prescription will be different because everybody's menopause is different.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it is. It's something.
Then let's talk about testosterone, right? Because on the NHS, that's a bit of an outlier. And it's only prescribed unlicensed, and then there's only kind of one product that they're happy to prescribe. And yet testosterone for me, if you listen to some of the earlier episodes, I'll give you a little recap here. Oh my God.
I listened to this and I could not believe it.
Go on. Well, you tell them what happened.
You were so rampant.
Yeah.
That your boyfriend at the time said to you,
stop.
Stop, I'm not a piece of meat.
Correct. But
from testosterone. All the blokes in the room are like, let's get honestly, some of that.
Honestly. But equally, my other friend started the same testosterone at the same time. She's here today. I'm looking at her. Did not have the same impact, right? So I'm like, oh my God, you better warn him. She's like, I can't bear him. I told him anywhere near me. Are you kidding me? So everybody's different,
yeah.
Right? By the way, that does wear off after a while.
And I haven't gone on to that yet.
Yeah, but the productivity I got from it, I mean, the sexiness was a sidebar of happiness, right? That was great. But actually, the productivity was the return to form that I was missing. I was like cracking through my to-do list. I felt like me again. It was amazing. But not everybody gets that. It's, you know, in the same way that some people like a gin, some people like a vodka. It's how you respond to things is entirely.
But can I also say that your standards of yourself are so high that actually in those times when you're saying you weren't performing or whatever, I was still looking at her like, how are you doing all that? You're saying you're really low, but look at how productive and brilliant you're being.
I felt like a knuckle dragger.
Now that, you know, even with the testosterone and everything was brilliant, just be kinder to yourself and know that your low level energy is other people's top level.
But it's what about how you feel about you, right?
I know, but that's...
So testosterone is something that you can get much more readily from a private doctor. That pisses me off, right? Because everybody should have a chance to at least have the option. You should be able to inform yourself about it and then decide whether or not with your doctor, that's a good prescription for you. What have been your experiences with patients and testosterone?
It is very individual. Not everyone gets on with testosterone or needs testosterone. The guidelines at the moment are only, the NICE guidelines say you can give testosterone to a woman who is on HRT, so she has to be on estrogen, and it's only specifically for low libido. So if that is the case, you can try testosterone. So at the moment, the evidence that we have in terms of studies is that testosterone can improve libido anecdotally. And we know a hormone doesn't do one thing in our body. So it makes sense that it does other things like increase motivation, drive, muscle strength, stamina, and often gives you that little bit of extra, you know, oomph, I suppose. People call it vavavoom or whatever. And it, women do come back and say, I walk down the street differently. I feel like me again.
And I was like John Travolta.
Yeah.
Saturday night, that was me. I was like, yes, come on. Let's do everything on the list and go out. Whereas before I was like, don't phone me. I can't speak. Just go away. I've got two emails to send. I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah.
You know, that's the difference. And I'm cracking jokes because that's the default. But it's not funny when two emails overwhelm you and you don't want to speak to the people you love more than anything. That's crap, right? So that this is the, you know.
So yeah, the issue is we don't have a licensed product in the UK and it should be prescribed by a specialist. So they're working on that, but it's taking a long time.
Can a man get testosterone on prescription?
Yes, because there's a licensed product for men. But what's happening is we're having to use a male product at a very small dose for women. And obviously as a specialist, you're experienced in that and comfortable to prescribe it. But some GPs are not trained to do that. And so it can be a bit tricky. So we need a good licensed product. It's on the way, apparently, but taking a long time to be approved.
Because you know why? There's no research. And do you know why there's no research? Because nobody's put money into researching women's sexual health. There is more money being spent on erectile dysfunction than there is on perimenopause, which impacts 51% of the population. And dear God, I hope that 51% of the population are not impacted by erectile dysfunction. I mean, they can't be because there's not 102% of people in the world for a start. But equally, you get my drift, right? Not every man will struggle with erectile dysfunction, and I'm not lessening that as a difficult stage in a man's life. But at least there's medical evidence to prove and support the prescriptions that they're getting, and they can buy it over the counter now. You can't go and buy HRT over the counter. I mean, probably no bad thing, but do you know what I mean? The disparity.
Oh, yeah, there's been huge inequalities in the research, and we definitely need more data on everything to do with menopause, really. So things are slowly changing.
Do you know what? They will change now, though, because there's a commerciality to it, right? People are sticking menopause badges on products to sell them that aren't even proven to help. And women are so desperate to feel better that they will buy stuff that isn't going to work for them. And again, I mean, that also pisses me off. You know, it doesn't take a lot to get my rage back. But it's not right. But do you understand? So now that now that there's a financial driver, maybe now we'll get the investment. But that's such a shame that it's taken that.
No, this is across the board, really, in women's health over many years. So this is, you know, not only just around menopause, but generally, you know, medications have been tested on men. Because of our hormones, we're complicated, so testing medications on women has always been tricky, but therefore medications are not always designed correctly for female bodies.
What else do you prescribe to patients that don't want to take HRT or can't, you know, and who can't, by the way?
Yeah, so there's very few absolute no's. It's always something you have to really talk through with a specialist, particularly in these scenarios. So breast cancer, obviously, a personal history or potentially a family history needs to be talked through with somebody with a specialist interest. And if you're having bleeding, vaginal bleeding that hasn't been diagnosed as abnormal, then HRT should not be started until that's been diagnosed.
How do you understand vaginal bleeding from menstruation?
So if your periods have become very heavy, clotty, really changed in nature, then that should be investigated. And so it is very common for periods to change in the perimenopause. But if it has become heavy or abnormal, then that should be checked out first off before you start HRT.
Where do you stand on, like, I take lion's mane and mushrooms and seaweed and quite a lot of natural supplements? Where do you stand?
Medical mushrooms, by the way, just to be clear.
Yes. There are many mushrooms that have loads of health benefits.
Yes.
What would you say about that?
Yeah, the vast majority of supplements are completely fine to have with HRT. I mean, if you think that all you're doing by replacing your hormones is giving your body back what it had before, so as long as it was all right with it in the first place, you're generally okay with the vast majority of supplements. There are a couple. Biotin, for example, can artificially elevate estradiol levels, so when you test them, you can see that. But the vast majority of natural supplements are fine alongside.
MCT oil, collagen.
Collagen, that's a biggie.
Yeah, they won't interact with your HRT. They're fine to take. Great. I mean, evidence base is different, but they are fine to take alongside HRT.
We lose 30% of our collagen at this life stage. It does a lot. It's not just about your skin and your nails and your hair. It's gut. It's so much that it impacts the brain as well. So it's really important to keep your collagen levels up. I take collagen now every single day. I also take a probiotic, a Simprove I use, which I found really helps with the bloating. Because some days, for no reason, I can just jump a dress size. And I have really attractive fat feet, which is lovely. For no reason. And then they go. Right? The next day, you look down at your feet, you're like, oh, and there's the veins in my feet again. They went yesterday. It's the oddest thing in the world.
You could do stand-up, though, based on the menopause and how it's affected you.
I know. I feel like I've tried...
A new career.
I'm trying all of the symptoms so you don't have to. Lydia, for women that can't afford private healthcare, how can they get the very best out of what's available on the NHS now? Because here's an example that was fed back to me. Some doctor's surgeries don't know what is available to help their patients. One woman DM'd me and said that she'd gone into a doctor's surgery and the woman on reception was sat there fanning herself and she said, well, you might need to go and speak to the doctor about upping your HRT. And she was like, oh no, I wouldn't touch that, it gives you breast cancer. That's a woman in a doctor's surgery that works there. Like, so the misinformation, the disinformation, the myths that masquerade as facts are still there. It's definitely getting better. But how can you go in knowing your patient rights and getting the best out of what the NHS has put in place for women?
Yeah, the NICE clinical guidelines that were published in 2015 are brilliant. And there's a very good summary of them on the British Menopause Society website that you can download and take in. And they clearly state things like, for example, that HRT is first line treatment for perimenopause and menopause, that you don't need blood tests to diagnose it if you're over 45. And they restate the risks in terms of breast cancer and blood clotting and that transdermal body identical HRT is the safest. And so those are very good to take in with you. I think we're now, you know, medicine is changing. I think being very more informed when you go in and having a conversation, hopefully explaining patient choice with and speaking it through with your GP can be very helpful. So I think it's informing yourself, as we said before, being prepared before your appointment and asking for a second opinion if you're not sure, or a referral to a menopause specialist within the NHS.
Right. So I was lucky enough to have.
Yes. So I mean, I think your GP probably had a special interest in women's health, but there are actual menopause clinics in the NHS that you can be referred to. So
the last time I looked, they stopped at sort of Birmingham. Right. So if you're a woman in the north, good luck. But that is changing. It is improving. We shouldn't be so negative because absolutely the conversation is so loud. It is engendering change.
Yeah.
But if you say I'm a woman in Newcastle that doesn't live near a menopause specialist clinic, who do I ask to get referred to? How do I get help?
There should be clinics nationwide, and this is where the menopause mandate and, you know, on World Menopause Day, they've started to kind of really speak to the government about expanding specialist menopause clinics across the NHS to try and increase the availability of those. So change in that is happening. It is slow. So I think things will happen in the future, but it's there will be clinics in all over the UK, but it depends how long the waiting list is.
Yeah. We could keep going and going and going because there's so much to discuss.
I mean, just the amount you learn just by having a conversation about it.
One conversation.
And if you think about it, it's only been the last few years that people have been openly talking about it. And how lovely would it have been if, at that age of most of our audience, we were this informed, that we knew what would happen, we could prevent some of those symptoms. We knew when it was happening, we weren't going crazy or losing our minds or, you know, seriously ill.
Oh, God, I mean, I thought I had arthritis. I went and had scans. No, it wasn't arthritis. You know, other people think they have heart issues because their heart
palpitations.
Yeah, palpitations and their heart skips a beat. That's just, again, one of the 60 symptoms. So, you know, every day's a school day.
Yeah, I think although these are called our sex hormones that are changing, they don't just affect our reproductive system. We have receptors for estrogen and progesterone throughout our body, hence why we get these symptoms in our brain, our heart, our guts, our muscle and joints.
Fat feet.
And so we have, the symptoms can be wide and varied, and they have an impact on our long-term health. So it's a really important time to address that through lifestyle changes, finding your tribe to support you through this. And becoming strong, fit and healthy so that you can thrive in this second part of our life.
Yeah. And talking really helps, right? Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to go and find a therapist. Find somebody that specializes in this as an area. If your friends aren't hearing you or your family aren't hearing you or you just don't want to have that conversation with them, find someone to go and talk to, because once you've said it out loud, honestly, it feels different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, it's not the end of life when you hit menopause. Definitely. I really do feel like I'm in an extremely exciting part of life now.
And I'm chasing after her, waiting to catch up.
No, you're not. You've got my hand and we're running.
We're running together. She's always just been a bit quicker than me. We have got an incredible audience here today. Does anybody have any questions that they'd like to ask? Yes.
Thank you. That was fascinating, by the way. I was going to ask, what advice would you give to men to help support women in their lives who are going through?
One question from the audience. How can men better support women through this life stage?
Again, I think it's information. I think it's, really understanding. It's very hard for men who don't experience these fluctuations in hormones ever to understand how it can impact us, how we can wake up one day and be like, the world is ending, and, and sympathise with that. So it is hard. So I think the more you can read and understand and maybe learn together, read through information booklets together, talk it through, look at the symptoms that can be affected and hear each other. Again, women just want to be heard. And then support each other through it and give each other space when it's needed. But I think information is key.
Always. Yeah, I think listen to the podcasts. Yeah. Because just use that as a starting point. I can't believe the response we've had to the two shows that have dropped thus far. And we're recording this on a Thursday. This will drop tomorrow. I know, again, tomorrow my DMs will be full of people saying how it's informed them, how it's helped them. It feels like a really important conversation. So it's sometimes it's about just directing people to the right conversation. For a lot of the men that sit around us at this time in our life, be it our children, our fathers, our partners, our colleagues, I know we're irritating. Trust me, no one's more irritated by us than us. Right? I get it. It's exasperating. It's boring. Don't ask me when it's going to end, because if I knew, I'd be sat in one of my 15,000 homes around the world, because I'd have bottled this and sold it as a solution to everybody. I don't know when it's going to end. Nobody knows when it's going to end. Please God, it's soon.
Also, I think that, it's been around. It's been here forever, the menopause. And Shirley Valentine she exists for a reason. That was just a woman in her menopause trying to get away, not wanting to cook anymore, and being a lovely...
And get off with a hot lovely, waiter.
And get off with a hot waiter and being on a Greek island. Yeah. But I think when women start to get angry and they're full of rage and they snap back, most of my friends or people I know have said, I was so horrible to my partner during it. I was really snappy with my kids. I was awful to my man. I think just know it does end. And also, we make jokes about it in our house. It has become a source of entertainment, and I'm much more aware of the language I use and to keep a not such a short fuse, but a calm head and breathe, box breath. And I think once everyone's talked about it and knows, oh, that's mum going through the menopause, or that's my partner going through the menopause, once it's out in the open, it can be something that can just be worked on. It evolves and it will be over. And believe me, the perimenopause is the worst.
Gotcha. I can't wait to get out of this bit. I'm really looking forward to my one day menopause and life beyond that. Karen.
How do you know if you've had that one day? What are the symptoms of menopause compared to perimenopause?
Really good question.
And what happens? Do they go away eventually? Do you go back to who you were, or are you someone different?
Great question. So how do you know when your menopause has happened? And what does life beyond it look like? Are you the old new, a rebooted version of you, or a new you?
So, yeah, the one day you probably won't feel any different because nothing happens on that day, really. But it's a journey, as you said, through this kind of period of time. The difference, the main difference between the perimenopause and then the menopause is that instead of having these wildly fluctuating hormones that are up and down and all over the place, you have a steady, low amount of hormones.
Stability, imagine.
And our body likes being steady. And then when we're replacing those hormones, then you know what you're doing. So the reason that the perimenopause is so tricky to navigate and tricky to treat at times is because not only if you're treating with HRT, you're giving hormones back, but your own hormones are having an impact in the background. So once you get to the post-menopause, everything steadies out. Your body adapts as well. So if a woman chooses not to have any HRT, our body does adapt. We don't just, you know, continue experiencing these symptoms forever. They do settle. Our body, our receptors become less hungry for estrogen and progesterone, and we figure it out, as we know from looking at generations before us who haven't had HRT. But it does become simpler. And are you the same as you were? I suppose that's tricky because you don't have the estrogen anymore and those hormones aren't there. So I would say you do evolve and change. That doesn't mean that it's bad, but I would say you're rebirthed in a way, you know, as Samson has said, yeah. You know, you discover a new you, a new path, a new tribe. Mm-hmm. And it's really exciting. And I love it when women come back and see me and they're in that phase and they've started new hobbies and they've found... And they're happy, and they really found who they are.
I just see looking that at Tam now, and I can just see smiley eyes. And there was times when neither of us had very smiley eyes.
No,
and you're back in really good, glorious form.
Well, it's the rebirth, and I think the rebirth is the important phase, because the rest of your life can be as pleasant and joyful as you want it to be once you've done the work and found the things and got the balance and realised, I think it's about loving yourself.
Yeah, and you don't apologise for stuff like I feel like I have to now. And I learn from you on this, Tam. You're like, well, don't worry about it. If you don't want to do that, just don't do it. It's okay. You can quite often give me permission that I wouldn't give myself.
To be you. To be authentically you.
Or just, or even just to have a day off from being me for a day. Just go and lie down, shut up.
And
it's
also,
fine,
amazing. You're amazing. And it's the belief and the acceptance of that you need to surrender to.
It made me cry on my own show. Don't do that. But yeah. Any more questions? Mardi.
Fantastic conversation. I was just thinking, menopause, what if you come to that period in people's lives where, you know, it could be at the height of your career, and we do hear a lot of statistics that sometimes if people don't get the support that they might force them into early retirement or conflict in the workplace. So what can workplaces do to help support people in that period?
That is a great question. Thank you. How can a workplace support a woman at this time in their life? Because for a start, we know, right, we've got this massive deficit in the 50 plus workforce. 900,000 women have left their jobs because of their menopausal symptoms. That's almost 1 million people out of the workforce. There's 2 million job vacancies in the UK, I believe, right now. You know, like, and it's so sad when somebody isn't told, don't worry, we've got you, we hear you. Have you thought about going to see this person? Why don't you just take a work from home day today? Don't worry about dialing in for that meeting. You can jump off that Zoom if you're a bit hot and sweaty and go and open a window. Don't worry, you don't have to explain yourself. That is a start, isn't it? But what else can be done?
Yeah, this is so common. I see this all of the time. Women who are in, you know, peak of their career and they suddenly have this self-doubt, don't feel productive anymore, procrastinate. Everything is just so much more of an effort. And, it, you know, employers do need to understand what is going on. So again, I know it's repetition, but it is understanding. It's talking. It needs to be an open dialogue and conversation. Women don't often want to go to their boss, maybe, to talk about it. It can not be the right person. So having a menopause advocate in a place of work, somebody who knows what they're talking about, that women can easily go to and speak about. Look, every workplace is different, so the pressures and the circumstances will vary. But as you say, is the temperature a problem? Is working home from home occasionally possible? Is having some time off so you can actually go and see a doctor or somebody an option? So it does vary. Again, this is something that's been brought up again in government to try and improve and make it mandatory in bigger companies. So it is being spoken about, but it's extremely key. And if it's experiencing if you're experiencing it, I really would urge you to speak to work about it and see if they can get something set up with somebody maybe leading, you know, leading that role in the workplace.
Yeah, it's a bit of a mountain to climb because there are so many people that will be lost from the workplace because of this, or don't put themselves up for a promotion, or come out of work and then just don't have the confidence to return. And it's such a shame because at 50 or 45 plus, it was, which is predominantly the ballpark that we're talking about, that's a wealth of learned and acquired wisdom and experience. These people are
just
valuable.
Just getting started then.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Totally. So there is a lot. There's a lot that can still be done. But I think lots is being done. I hope so.
It's definitely starting. Yeah. It definitely changes.
It's getting there, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's getting there. Just some facts to clear up. Does HRT give you breast cancer?
So
this is something that you read a lot, and a lot of people are deterred from HRT because they've heard it can increase your chances of getting breast cancer.
The short answer, no. You know, breast cancer is complex. We don't fully understand the reasons behind breast cancer. It's very common. 1 in 8 women will get breast cancer in their lifetime, and it's more common as we get older. So it's really important to check your breasts. That's the main thing. Check your breasts, because breast cancer caught early is extremely treatable now. Mm.
Can I also say, checking mine not that long ago, I had a scare because I found lumps and recently went and checked that out. And it was because of menopause and hormone changes and it was completely fine, nothing. But you don't realise that as well, that even your boobs are changing, your lumps and everything is changing. So I would check that, because it's better to be safe than sorry. I'm so pleased I went and actually...
100%. Yeah, I recommend the app Copperfeel, which gives you a little alert every month and tells you how to do it, because many women don't know what they're doing and what they're looking for.
Copperfeel's a great place to go and check out any key information. They're a fantastic charity headed up by Chris Hellinger. Yeah, fantastic.
So in terms of HRT, estrogen-only HRT does not, so if you don't need progesterone, definitely does not increase the risk of breast cancer. In fact, it lowers it slightly. So it's the progesterone.
Why don't we know that? Why is that fact
again?
Not more famous?
Yeah, I think that's still a surprise to many people. It's the progesterone part of HRT that you use in a combined HRT that you need if you have a womb that can increase your risk of breast cancer. So the choice of progesterone that you use is important. So a synthetic progestogen has a higher risk of breast cancer than a body identical natural progesterone. So that's the one we tend to start. And studies suggest that there's no increased risk of breast cancer with that body identical progesterone for at least 5 years. But we do need, again, more data on that.
Okay, true or false? 2 glasses of wine a day puts me at greater risk of breast cancer than HRT.
Correct.
Being overweight puts me at greater risk of breast cancer than HRT.
Yes, far more. If your BMI is over 30, so if you're obese, you're at far, far greater risk of breast cancer than any HRT, yeah.
So please don't let the thought that you get breast cancer from HRT prevent you from exploring it as an option, because every time you go to that third glass of wine, you don't think, I might give myself breast cancer. Every time you burst out of your jeans because you've been on a fantastic holiday and you've gained a little weight, you don't think... breast cancer. Same applies. And I think it's really important that we separate out the scare from the facts.
Absolutely, yeah. And things are protective as well. So if you exercise regularly, that's very protective for breast cancer. So lifestyle is, again, key.
So exercise prevents breast cancer.
It reduces your risk. Yeah, it's one of
there
yeah.
Go. I mean, there you go, right?
But exercise can just be a walk in nature, a power walk in nature.
Exactly.
You don't have to go and do...
And a glass of red wine is almost salad. Thank you so much for all of your questions. Tam, thank you for coming and telling us about We Free Women and the work that you do. If you're listening and you think, I could do with that, we are running more retreats. I say we because I do.
You are part of it, darling.
I do.
You're a retreat angel.
I'm the washer-upper. And I'm very happy to be. If you'd like to nominate somebody, go to wefreewomen.org and read about the work that they do. If you'd like to make a donation, that would be awesome. If you'd like to donate your time and come and work as a volunteer, also awesome. Brilliant. You know, more the merrier. If you want some fact-checked, medically supported information about the menopause. We're going to put all the links that you need in the episode notes on this episode. But a great place to start is the British Menopause Society. Just go and check them out. Make sure that when you do look for a doctor, that they are accredited by the British Menopause Society. That means you're seeing somebody that knows their onions. And when I say onions, I mean menopause.
Absolutely, yeah, I agree.
Thank you both. But mostly thank you for coming today with all your great questions. It's been a very special episode. My huge thanks to our studio audience, to my guest, Dr. Lydia Robertson, for her unending knowledge, to Tamsin Outhwaite for sharing and, well, for frankly caring so much. And if you want more information about the menopause or you want to learn more about Tamsin's Weave Free Women organisation, please do take a look at the episode notes. It's all there. All you need to do is click and go. Thank you so much for listening today. We'll be back on your feeds on Tuesday with something from the cellar. Then it's business as normal next Friday. Until then, enjoy whatever you're doing.
White Wine Question Time is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.